I want to welcome you to the church planting class. My name is Henry Reinga, and I'm going to lead you through this class. We are going to look at material from the Multiplication Network. That's going to be some of the basic training you're going to get, material from there, and I'll present that. We're going to look at various books. This book that we're going to talk about today is Dennis Crombie's book, Church Planting 101. We're going to talk about issues about church planting that maybe you've never thought of. Now, I know some here may not be planting a church, and that's okay. And if you're not planting a church, you're taking this class. What I want you to do through this whole class is imagine that you might be. So if I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you as you're thinking about church planting, are your motives. Do never be offended when you say, well, I'm not going to plant a church. I'm going to make it to the you, the second person singular, so that we can just sort of connect with the material. And even if you're not going to plant a church, sort of pretend you are. Now, if you are going to plant a church, take all of these words very seriously. You know, when you're thinking about planting a church and going through the materials, whether it's books we go through in this class or whether it's the Multiplication Network material from John Wagenfeld's organization, really, you got to think about your motives. Dennis Douglas Crombie writes, to the potential church planter, please take time to seriously examine your motives before launching a new church. I promise that if your motives are not fully correct, you will be added to the 32% failure rate within a short time. So, what are these key motives? Now, for me, if I think about why did I plant four churches and replant a church, why did I do that? For me, is that calling of God centered around my walk with God in my devotional life 30 years ago, that is, in Romans 15, verse 20. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Now, the point being is the foundations, the other churches in the area are wonderful. Leave the other churches and let them do their work. But for me, I am called to go out on the frontier to reach more people in my village and community. Now, here's some motives that are not a calling from God. If you believe it will feed my ego and help me be promoted quickly in ministry, the reality is it may take years for your church to even reach 100 in attendance. If your ego is the main factor you have, you will bail out as soon as it gets tough and all the accolades begin to quiet down. I remember early church planting. Things were very hard. It did not look successful at all, but the calling was too strong for the results, good or bad. I knew God wanted me to do this. Here's another one. Do not plant a church if you believe no one in my town is reaching the hurting. The reality is that most of the time, this is simply not true. I challenge you to stop assuming that no one is doing anything and find someone who is and help them succeed. Let's not have a chip on our shoulder against God's work. God's mission is God's mission, and God is going to work. He is working. He's almighty and all-powerful. Here's another one. The church I am currently attending does not allow me to use my gifting. That may be true for you. Sometimes you may feel that way, but as Dennis Crombie writes, the reality is that most churches are still not fluent in assimilation of the saints. In other words, these churches aren't good at identifying the use of gifts. This has been an ongoing problem, but it does not mean you are not needed. I challenge you to sit down with the leadership and discuss this before you decide to leave and launch your church. Here's another motive. I am wanting a place to preach. Well, if that's your main motive for planting a church and you're not getting an opportunity now, the reality of pastoring and planting is that preaching will only be about 5% of what you do if you are going to be successful at it. In other words, the church plant needs 95% hard work, people, relationships. So if to get a platform for your preaching, that is not a great motive to plant a church. Here's one that I've heard. My call to ministry is as an evangelist, but because of the bad economy, no one is having traveling ministers in to preach at their church anymore, so I need a base of support. Crumby writes, the reality is that although you may be correct, starting a new church for the simple reason of raising financial support for your traveling ministry is nothing more than flirting with disaster. So, calling is essential. What is God calling you to do? Crumby writes, I am doing this because I firmly believe that a person with nothing more than the right intent and the call of God in his life is capable of anything if he sets his mind to it. So, are you called? Now, in understanding that call, it's very prayerful out of your walk. And it's very much connected to that confirmation, too, that planting a church is a comprehensive thing involving a lot of relationships. So as you pray, what is God speaking to you in your personal life about planting a church? And I'm going to take these next items here and talk just how I would have related to it in my personal call. You know, back in the 1980s in my devotional life, I mentioned before about Romans 15. It's been my sole ambition to preach Christ where he's not known. Also in the book of Acts, as I was reading those devotional passages, my imagination, my spiritual imagination was caught up in the mission of God. I also, in that personal walk, reflected on many examples of witnessing to Christ in my high school and how much I felt and sensed and experienced the presence of God where he would give me words to speak. So part of it starts very personally in my walk, my life. But when I got married, my wife, my spouse, signed on. She too felt the urgency to reach people for Christ. As I had a family, my family has indicated to me what a blessing it has been to be part of a church planting family. Now, if you start out really young, it's true that your family has no choice. If you're older and thinking about church planting, you're definitely going to have to take care of the family and even at times negotiate if there's going to be a church plant, how is that going to look? How will it affect your family? Also, your friends. My friends confirmed. I had led some of my high school friends to Christ, and even through my college years, I preached Christ intrapersonally, that is. If I looked at my life, too, is I realized that I had to be teachable in how I managed my time. Be on time. I had to watch my time very carefully and learn how to work smart. Learn how to get things done quickly. Because in church planting, it's a lot of work. And if you still want a family, you have to figure out how to manage your time. And when you do something, to do it quickly, get it done. Money. I realized right away that money would get church planters into trouble if somehow they did not spend it correctly or it somehow they did not wisely account for their money, all of these things. And one thing I did right in my ministry very early on is I got someone else to handle the money in the church plant. Again, these are all aspects, but they're in that calling place. Now, let's say you sense the call and you are teachable in your connections, you're working with family. Here's three things that will help you in this church planting mission. First, Christian Leaders Institute does provide this training, and we're going to work with Multiplication Network and many other resources to help you. Your pastor, your mentor can right away get on board with you as you process some of this church planting material. Maybe you can find a church planter in your area to help you develop a vision, a plan for church planting. So, let's talk about some very important things that could be deal breakers for you. Maybe so far you like everything that has been said, but I want to mention one thing that's really important as you sort of figure this out, and that is that people smart in ministry aspect. We had a whole class on this that most of you have probably taken or will take. But there is an aspect to people smart in ministry that cannot be overlooked when it comes to church planting. Dennis Crumby writes, sit down with them, that is, with a mentor or with your spouse or with other people, with a notebook to record what they say, and ask them how they view you in the following areas. Have them truthfully answer each one of these questions. Do not go any further in the book until this assignment has been completed. This may be the hardest yet most productive gathering of information you will ever do in preparation toward the success of your future church. Ask them, and here are the questions. How am I around strangers? How am I around my family? How am I around the rich? How am I around the poor? You're going to meet a whole group of people here. How do I react? Do I have an attitude against some class? How do I talk to other people in a negative? Do I talk about other people in a negative sense? A church planter's voice is to be positive. Always see the good in people. That is what God is doing, not what God is not doing. Do I complain or whine a lot? What are my three biggest personality quirks? What are my three biggest weaknesses? What are my three biggest strengths? How is my vocabulary? How is my dress or appearance? How is my nonverbal communication? How would you say that I treat people in general? See, these questions, we're going to look at it even more in depth in this church planting class. But these are just examples of things, even before you plant a church, you want to get on the table. So, having done that, do you still want to be a church planter? The reality, this should really get you thinking. After you've completed the line of questioning and picked yourself up off the floor and stopped crying and feeling sorry for yourself, you'll be a great place to start the work. Just a little humor to let you know that if you're actually completed that assignment and that you still want to plant a life-giving church, well, you've just made a few leaps toward that goal becoming a reality. You know, completing an assignment is very important because it's that a church planter is always in the process of teaching. You know, when I built a house, it was amazing how many things I had to learn to build this house. And that's what it's going to be like in church planting. So learn quickly and get over it and move forward and change by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm going to talk about kind of ending this, and Dennis Crombie does this. He talks about Ed Stetzer's planting missional churches. And these are just 13 characteristics here of a person who may be called to plant a church. One is vision capacity, the ability to imagine the future, to persuade others to become involved in that dream, and to bring the vision to reality. Intrinsically motivated, a self-starter who is committed to excellence through hard work and determination. Three, creates ownership of ministry, instills in others a sense of personal responsibility for the growth and the success of the ministry, and trains leaders to reproduce other leaders. Stetzer goes on to talk about even more very powerful things. And what he's trying to do in this list is he's really trying to help each of us identify with the calling of church planters. Relates, number four, relates to the unchurched. Able to develop relationships with the unchurched and encourage them to examine and to commit to a personal relationship with God. Number five, spousal cooperation. The church planter's spouse cooperates and agrees with the vision and affirms the balance of marriage, family, life, and ministry. Number six, effectively builds relationships, takes initiatives in meeting people, and deepens relationships as a basis for more effective ministry. Number seven, committed to growth. Value congregational development as a means for increasing the number and quality of disciples. Number eight, responsive to the community, able to adapt ministry to the culture and needs of the target area residents. Number nine, equips and releases, prepares others to use their gifts and encourages them to utilize them in ministry. You know, these are all important. Number 10, flexible and adaptable. Adjust to change and shifts priority when necessary. Able to handle surprises and emergencies in multiple tasks. Number 11, builds consensus. Enables the group to work collaboratively toward common goals and skillfully manages and minimizes conflict. A person of conflict is not a good church planter. Resilient, perseveres and endures. 13, exercises faith, translates personal conviction into personal and ministry decisions and resulting actions. You see, in being called as a church planter, while it is not easy, in some ways it is simple in this way. It's just about people. It's about time management. It's about being teachable. It's about walking with God. It's about having this hunger to reach those who do not know Christ. In a lot of ways, those are simple things, but they're not necessarily easy. On the other hand, I want everyone to know that whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, you can be a church planter. I've seen both. Whether you're someone who is good with language or have a hard time speaking, don't worry about that. It's really about calling. It's about being teachable. It's about having the passion to reach people. If you're a church planter, or if you're in the class, again, just to study church planting, come along in this journey and say, Lord, what do you have for me? And I trust you are going to enjoy this church planting class.